أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. Islam is the religion, the final religion, the final revelation, the final word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final word of God with mankind. This religion, according to the ahadith, is the most complete form, and it is the complete message that is going to be benefiting people, dealing with their issues that they require guidance on, from the time of its revelation 1400 years ago until the day of judgment. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي, which is a verse that we should all have memorized, that on the day of Ghadir, after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam told the people who their ruler, who their wali is going to be, who they're going to be following after the Holy Prophet in all their affairs, including their social political affairs, this verse was revealed, that اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. Today we completed the religion. The religion has become complete. The religion of Islam deals with all dimensions of life. It is a complete package that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and the Ahlul Bayt try to present and implement, provide the guidance and help implement from their time all the way until the time of the occultation. And the Imam of our time is going to be putting his effort and finalizing that and providing the people of the world with this guidance in a way where we will have the government of truth, the government of justice, the government of the Imam of our time, extending all the way throughout all the different parts of the world and the globe. The completeness of the religion is an area that we need to think about. We need to try to spend time contemplating on. For centuries, due to the social political climate of the ulama and the people, the circumstances that they have been in, which has been tyrants having power and trying to rule over people, control the people, and in order to do that, they have been manipulating Islamic ideas. They have had people that, according to them and according to some, were considered scholars, and they would present Islamic information in a way that would meet their goals, their standards, and push for their objectives. Because of that, and because of the tight circumstances where the believers, if they wanted to have any type of involvement in the social political arena, they would have to face very difficult consequences, losing their lives for many losing the lives of their family members, losing rights to education, losing opportunities to work, and a long list of other restrictions and limitations that were caused by the rulers. And it still continues to an extent, at least in different areas. The understanding of Islam, that complete form of Islam, the Islam that is supposed to cover all dimensions of life, has been kind of pushed aside, and what had remained, what had been understood, practiced and implemented, and propagated, for the most part, is an Islam that only deals with certain dimensions of life. This is a historic analysis that I hope brothers and sisters spend time to understand. When you look at the Islam that is presented by the Holy Prophet, if you try to analyze that, if you try to understand what Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi did throughout his life after the Holy Prophet as the Imam, if we understand what Imam al-Mujtaba did and what Imam al-Husayn did and what the rest of the Ahlul Bayt and the Imams did, and we compare that to what is being presented as Islam, as Shia Islam, as the teaching of the Ahlul Bayt, for the most part, what people try to push, I don't see that these are one and the same. The Islam that is presented, propagated, and a lot of time is spent on it, is an Islam that deals with prayers and fast and hajj, and it deals with certain etiquettes about how to treat one's spouse, one's children, fellow believers, fellow human beings, and being nice in a very wishy-washy Islam. And this is not the complete form of Islam, the complete version, what we see the Ahlul Bayt pushing forward. We don't see this type of Islam, or we don't see a lot of what Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi says, or most of what he says in Nahjul Balagha, being part of this. This Islam is an incomplete version of Islam. And because of that, as the verses of the Holy Quran tell us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Islam is a full package. There are some that يُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضُ وَيَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضُ. They accept certain parts and they reject other parts. They don't accept some of the teachings of Islam. If anyone does that, the verse says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّ. They are clearly and truly kafirin. They have rejected the message. If you accept part of it and reject any part that you don't like, then you have rejected the whole thing, because this religion is the religion of Islam, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What has happened to us? What has happened to the Muslim ummah? That we have developed this form of Islam through the work, the hard work, the difficulties that some of our ulama have gone through. We've been able to understand that there is a missing element, a very important part of Islam that we have got to try to focus on, and we need to try to develop in ourselves. Something that has been missing for centuries. Something that has been the cause of the Muslims being kept back, being oppressed, being illiterate, being always those who have to follow the technology, follow and take whatever is given to them by the rulers, by the governors, by the powers of the world. Through the work of great ulama like Imam Khomeini, great ulama like Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, great ulama like Imam Musa al-Sadr, ulama like Shaheed Beheshti, ulama like Ayatollah al-Uzma Khamenei, these ulama have showed us the light of the full picture of Islam. Once we start opening our eyes to the complete version of Islam, and we look back at our knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt and the Ma'sumin, what their teachings were, we realize we had missed some of the most important parts of it. The only things that we knew about the Imams and the Holy Prophet were some of their fada'il, that Amir al-Mu'mineen in this battle did something. We missed the big picture. Why was Amir al-Mu'mineen in that battle in the first place? Why did he fight the battle? Who was he fighting? Why is it important to fight? He had this dhul-faqar that we like to describe and we like to praise and feel great that this is the dhul-faqar of Ali and no one can stand up to him. But what is that dhul-faqar good for? What happened to our dhul-faqar? What happened to our involvement? Why did Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi fight 3 battles during his khilafat? What happened? What were those battles all about? We have a very incomplete, inaccurate picture of history, Our picture of history is that some people just hated Amir al-Mu'mineen for who he was, and Amir al-Mu'mineen had to fight them, otherwise they would have killed them. A very personal, individualistic approach towards this, whereas Amir al-Mu'mineen never had such a problem with anyone. He could have lived in his corner and no one would have said anything to him. We consider the right of Khilafah a right, something that's just like a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, and these people just hated him, they wanted to take away from him. The responsibility of Khilafah was a responsibility of Amir al-Mu'mineen. لَوْلَا حُضُورُ الْحَاضِرُ وَمَا أَخَذَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْعُلَمَاءِ أَلَّا يُقَارُّ عَلَى كِدَّةِ الظَّالِمِ وَلَا سَغَبِ مَظْلُومِ. If it was not because of the people that are present, and if it was not because of the oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken from the ulama, that they do not accept and remain silent, where you have the zalimin and the oppressors and the oppressive powers, the tyrants, taking the rights of the madlumin and others, the ulama are not allowed to remain silent in this, where the oppressors are taking all the wealth of the world and they have so much they don't know what to do with it. They eat so much that they feel pain because of eating too much, and on the other hand you have the people that are being oppressed and they don't have anything, and they're facing and they're suffering because they don't have food to eat. The ulama cannot remain silent here. This is what Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi teaches us. If we're living in a society where people are corporate slaves, where people are subjugating the resources of the world, taking everything that the world has and sucking it up and providing it for a small few, a small number of people in their country, and we know about this, we're silent about it, then we have not practiced what Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi has taught us. We need to start waking up to this. And even if we don't know, that's even worse. We cannot be having an excuse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment that this was all happening and we had stuck our head into the snow or into the ground so much that, and into our personal lives to the extent where we didn't see anything except for our own gain, our family's education, and so on and so forth. That is not an excuse. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi spent those 5 years. May Allah bless him, and Allah is blessing him. May Allah bless us with becoming the true Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and not oppressing the Imam by following a very incomplete, a very wishy-washy version of Islam that Amir al-Mu'mineen would never consider those who follow that to be his Shia. There has been an awakening through the noble work, the efforts, the suffering of ulama that we mentioned, and in the forefront of all of these ulama, Imam Khomeini, with the efforts that he put, he brought this into the public arena. He taught us, and we owe him a lot. This should be a beginning for us. This should be something that we focus on, we learn from, and we try to develop that awareness in us and try to spread that. And only then, we can hope and expect that we can be considered the companions of the Imam of our time. Only then we can consider ourselves the Ashab of the Mahdi. Only then we can sit and criticize and complain about those who loved Imam al-Husayn but fought him in Karbala, who invited him to come and called upon him to come and they fought him. Only then we can do so. Otherwise we are the same hypocrites that called upon their Imam and did not support him, because that's exactly what we're going to do. When the Imam of our time, we're calling him, Allahumma ajjal li waliyika al-faraj, oh Imam, we want you to come. If he were to come today, and the tyrants are not going to send you a ticket to go and help them out, if he tells you to do something, and the governments that you're living under are going to tell you otherwise, are going to tell you that you're not allowed to help him out, you would be willing to even go and tell the governments where he lives, and the governments would be coming, arresting him, and God forbid, taking his life. That's why he's an occultation. So we can... Okay. We need to understand this, brothers and sisters. We need to wake up. We need to realize the version of Islam that we've been practicing and implementing is incomplete. Is Islam about beating ourselves? Is Islam about getting together and just talking about how great the Ahlul Bayt were and doing exactly what the people who betrayed them do? We need to realize that. Think about it. Reflect on it. Use the contemporary examples. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises in the Holy Quran that we had always neglected for centuries. Everybody was saying, all the believers with this great potential, being such a large population, even the Shias saying that we can't do anything, we need to remain silent, we're going to be killed, this, that, the other. And forgetting the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, that He says, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many times a small number of people, through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have been able to manage to be victorious over larger numbers because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had forgotten about these. Now we're seeing through the work of these ulama that this is so true. We have seen the Islamic Republic for all these years, all the efforts made, an 8-year war waged against them through their neighboring country, the Ba'ath Saddam, who killed the Iraqi population, who killed the Iranian population, who killed the Arabs, killed the Persians, killed the Kurds. Through him, this ruthless man, 8 years of war was waged. And the Islamic Republic was boycotted. They did not provide anything for them. 8 years they survived. Not only did they survive, they were actually winning the battle. And that's why they provided Saddam with the chemical and biological warfare to make it so difficult, because the Islamic Republic was not going to use that. We have seen how the Americans plotted a military attack on Iran, and all their helicopters and planes were destroyed in the desert of Tabas. The sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He did, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran about the Battle of Badr and how He helped the believers with thousands of angels. Is this other than the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All the sanctions, all these years, the Islamic Republic, the Islamic Revolution has continued on that path towards perfection, on the path towards implementing Islam. We see these signs. How a small number of people, the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt, followers of that line of Imam al-Husayn that says, we sacrifice our lives in order to live a life of dignity under the flag and the banner of Islam, and we're not going to allow the Zionist regime to come and subjugate us. The most powerful military force in the region is brought to its knees in 33 days, and they have to beg to bring this to an end without the Shias even saying that we agree to this, and only allowing and sparing the lives of the Zionists in order to preserve the lives of the believers. These are things that we are witnessing. Why aren't we waking up to this? Why aren't we? Unfortunately, some of us are still trying to bury our heads, trying to confuse ourselves and confuse others. It is time for us to wake up. It is time for us to bring that Islamic awareness to ourselves, to our communities, through getting the inspiration from the true students of the Ahlul Bayt, like Imam Khomeini, like Sayyidina Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, like the other ulama, like Ayatollah Khamenei, and the other current and living ulama who push that same ideology. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us achieve that and to arrive at that destination. And we hope that He helps us become the true companions of the Imam of our time, inshallah.